was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Well, here we are. Thank you for checking in. This is the Sports Brewery postgame for Oregon and Washington. If we sound emotionally distraught, it's because that was a hell of a fucking ending to a football game. There are so many things that Oregon did wrong in that game that I like Ski will attest to this. Before we're getting started, I just started jotting down a list. That's a pretty big fucking list. So, you know, we said going into this that this was a bad matchup for Oregon. And everything we said and everything that was on paper going into this was right. Oregon is bad against the pass, one of the worst in the country against the pass, and Washington is the best team in the country against the pass, or for the pass. And they have the best statistical passing quarterback in the country. And so it sort of played out. Like, you know, first half, you know, I was telling a buddy, like, Oregon, it was 13-10 at halftime. And I'm like, you know, Oregon's going to figure it out on offense. Like, you're really happy that Washington has 13 at the end of the first half. Like, by the way, I'm Alex. I'm at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. King, I believe King went to the game. So King was sort of a wild card anyways. So he might join us at some point. Who knows? He'll be on like a Eugene City bus going back to his car or something. Right. So, but yeah, sorry. You were going to say, Ski?
I was saying the Ducks offense in the first half, I don't think they didn't need to figure anything out.
Yeah.
It was a terrible penalty that, you know, they would have had it first and goal. And then that fumble because of that stupid, do you call it a swinging gate? I don't know what that play design is.
By the way, something I hadn't added to my really long list.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, so it's weird because Kenny Dillingham, like, some of the things he's done this year have been genius. And when they work, we're like, oh man, he's playing chess, not checkers. He's the best in the country at this. Like, he's going to coach Arizona State next year, blah, 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 blah. But then when it doesn't work, it's like, man, that is the dumbest shit. Like, he's overthinking it. Like, that was the first thing I said. It's like, man, he's overthinking it. Like, if you're going to run a quarterback sneak or something or a dive, like, just run the sneak or the dive. Like, they haven't stopped it. Yeah. Like, they won't stop it.
It was so unnecessary because yeah. It was third and goal.
That play was third and goal, and then they, you know, it was the way the play was unfolding. Heward even said it. It's like he's gonna walk into the end zone. Like the way the play was unfolding,
it
gets it, hands it to Whittington, easy touchdown. Like,
yeah, it was going to work, but they've ran it what, four times this year, three times out of that, like,
yeah, I think,
and every time they've run it, yeah, every time they've run it, it's always against the clock because it takes so long to get set and then to get back. And I'm pretty sure I never saw a great angle on the snap. Like, was it just a bad foresight snap, or
I think you just didn't get it? Like, so that was the thing, they were being rushed.
It was hurried.
They were being rushed, and they created that situation for themselves. Like, you don't have to be rushed. You did that. Yep. You had a third and one. You decided to spread everybody out and bring them in. You're creating a roadblock for yourself. Like, why do that? Throw it, like, fucking whatever play napkin you wrote that fucking play on, like, burn it. Like, it's dead. It's dead. You don't need to do that shit. You're too good running the ball to do that shit. And especially against Washington. They ran the ball up Washington's ass the whole fucking game. Run off tackle. They could not stop it at any point. Run off tackle. Do it three plays in a row. I don't care. They can't stop it.
They could when Ty Thompson's in and they know he's not going to throw the football. But to your point, those play designs are for teams that have trouble moving the ball or like a really, really good defense. Like, that might be something you run against Georgia kind of thing because their front is so good. It's hard to get 2 or 3 yards to score there. They probably were getting 6 to 7 yards average between. I bet that's how they finished at, I bet.
Yeah.
Bucky, maybe. So, he might have been closer to 9.
Bucky, 19 carries, 173 yards.
Yeah.
Whittington, 20 carries, 108 yards. Knicks, by the way, I think, what did Knicks have? 60 yards on 9 carries. Yeah. Like, they could not stop it anytime you wanted to run the ball. By the way, they couldn't stop you when you wanted to throw the ball either. But that said, if you're going to run, just run. Don't do the silly bullshit. Okay, so we had, so we're jumping way ahead here, but like Booble in the chat, you know, first comment he said, I thought Franklin stayed in bounds. And so the last play we're talking about, like, you know, it was a typical clusterfuck by the Pac-12 officials. So we don't know. We have no idea if he stepped out of bounds or not, because for whatever reason, Fox did not have a camera angle anywhere near a sideline, which, okay, like, whatever. It didn't look like he stepped out of bounds. I will say
it was real close.
Real close.
On the angle they show it.
And the announcer's point, where it's like, if the margin is that thin of him stepping out of bounds, why isn't the margin that thin for him being forced out of bounds? Because he did get touched. Like, if that's what the rule is, if he gets touched and is coerced out of bounds, then it's not a penalty, right? I mean,
he got pushed there. Yes, and in that situation, you cannot call that.
Yeah,
in the start of that drive, Bucky caught that little swing pass, juke that guy. He got hit late. He was about half a step out of bounds,
yards,
but
like basically in field goal range. By the way,
yes,
like,
but I understand how close that one was because he was like just out of bounds. You don't want to throw a flag there, but you can't throw a flag then on him getting. You know, he got a stiff arm that sent him to the sideline.
Wasn't big, but it made him go out of bounds. And by the way, worth noting, Franklin caught that ball and his knees were down in bounds.
Yes.
Like, the game should have been over right at that play. So, you know, it is what it is. The fact that Oregon got a Hail Mary was purely by Pac-12 referee fuckery anyways. So the entire last series, just very typical.
Hey,
makes you understand why USC and UCLA are leaving. Like, it's very typical.
That's you assuming they would review that and correctly call that.
Yeah. So because I don't know, could you? Yeah, I guess you could.
I think you can, but yeah. I was going to bring that up too. They reviewed that Bo Nix short of the first down in the first half within like 5 seconds of it happening.
They did. Yeah. By the way, the kick return where Washington's player's knee was down.
Like, knee was down. That was
like a 15-second replay. That was great. That's the way it's supposed to be.
But I never fully know what the rule is for college. Like, does Lanning have to challenge things? Because how is that potential interception not at least looked at?
Which one?
For review. Was it the Gonzalez interception where they both kind of had the ball at the same time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was like a catch.
You got to at least look at it, maybe, because it was real close. Yeah.
So what's a bigger occurrence in this game, do you think? Because both were insanely huge. So Oregon is on that 20-play drive that ended in a field goal. The reason it ended in a field goal is because of Forsyth's high snap.
Booble just said in the chat. Okay, there it is. 100% what changed this game.
So here you go. No, wait.
That's it.
The high snap or the 4th-and-1 out of shotgun with Ty Thompson handing off from his own 30-yard line.
Because that shouldn't even have happened.
So we wouldn't have even gotten to that point. Yeah.
No.
So the high snap.
That whole drive, they were getting 5 to 6 yards guaranteed every run. He doesn't high snap that. There doesn't need to be that run by Nix, because they would have probably been 3rd-and-1 as opposed to, was it 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-5, what Nix tried to get. That's what it was.
It's such a shame because that they dominated Washington on that drive. He dominated on that drive. And then the snap was just like, good point, by the way. Lincoln City 69 says like Forsyth seemed like shaken up.
Oh, his shoulder. He had something wrong with his shoulder or forearm or elbow or something. Cause when he took that knee later, when he got hurt, you could see him. He was kind of shaking that shit off the second half of that long drive.
You know, I was
something was definitely up.
I was at my buddy's house, and like when Oregon called the timeout, like when so that drive when Oregon called the timeout, I was like, man, it looks like Oregon needs the timeout more. Like in terms of being tired, because usually you're talking about a defense being tired, but Oregon's offensive line looked fucking gassed at the end of that drive. And that might be why Forsythe did the high snap, like who knows. But man, they look beat up and tired, which is why it was such a shame that, you know, on the third and five, you call the quarterback draw, which by the way, worked for a touchdown earlier, so it is what it is. But you call the quarterback draw that everybody in the building and everybody in the nation saw coming, and then you get stuffed. It's a shame because, like, Oregon deserved a touchdown on that drive, and because they didn't, game over. Like, that's it. It opened up the door. Like, with teams that are good, and by the way, guys, Washington is good. Like, with teams that are good, if you keep them within arm's length, like, if you keep them with a shot, they will take a shot. And Bennett Williams got beat deep on just the worst defensive play by a safety in a key situation ever. And sure enough.
Again, is that, that's well, it. I'll save this for a little bit. Is that Bennett Williams or is that Osh?
You know, I think it's Williams.
Williams, sure. But
his responsibility was the deep half, and he took a sideways angle going to, like, the wrong spot. Like,
it was a horrible angle,
horrible read by him, and he made a terrible play. And it's guys you don't expect to make those plays, you know? It's like, you don't expect Bennett Williams to make that bad of a play. And
no, not in that situation.
Especially after the defense actually finally made a play. Like, leading into that 20-play drive, you get an interception at the one-yard line. Jesus Christ, Oregon, drive down, score, win the game. It's over.
Gonzo had some good coverage plays. But outside of those, that play by Sewell was the only highlight of the defense the whole game. Hell of a play by Sewell.
Yeah, it was 12-yard outs all game. 12-yard outs against Bridges, 12-yard outs against Gonzalez, 12-yard outs against Manning, all fucking game.
You drop the linebackers deep into coverage, and they see everyone in front of them and just let them stop and catch 10-yard passes.
So I'll start you on your Tosh rant, because my issue with what Tosh did today was he called zone all game long, and Penix just ate it alive. Like his receivers are very good too. So he had receivers who would find spots and sit. He would hit them right on time all game long. And there was nothing they could do about it. And at some point you got to switch it up. And he did try like some disguised blitzes later on. Oregon got no pressure at all game long. I think Sewell got one pressure late and it forced an incompletion. But then they just completed the next pass anyways, and it didn't matter.
Flo had the late pressure to the late hit. that was as close as he got to the quarterback. But this isn't
my buddies and I talking about Flo. By the way, just sitting on the couch. Oh, yeah. By the way, like I don't think Flo has played all game, and then all of a sudden in the second half he comes in for one series, gets one tackle,
made a tackle.
Gets one nice tackle, like flexes, of course, because that's what he does, and then the next play. Obviously, he didn't get beat deep. Williams did, by the way. Williams beat for two touchdowns deep. And then he gets the late hit. Like,
but what back to Tosh is, teams are good to drop into zone, but you need to have the defensive front to get some pressure when you drop into a zone. This Oregon defensive line might be the worst they've ever had. There is not a soul, not a soul on that line that could do anything. I mean, Dorless is their best player. He should not be the best player on a defensive line. He didn't get pressure. He's an okay run defender.
Right.
But that's it. And here's the scary thing. I could not tell you the names of the interior defensemen. I don't think their names have been called all year.
Yeah.
That's how obsolete
it's
they
like
are.
Rogers and Ware Hudson and Riley. Those are the people. That's it. They don't do anything.
You better put fucking Flo as a, you know, a defensive tackle. He might be better suited to playing that.
He'll be more aggressive.
He could do that. All right, here's what you do. Here's a guy in front of you. Try to get by him to tackle the quarterback. That's your only job.
Get his ass run over.
Yeah. And the zones are the easiest thing to pick apart if you have zero pressure. And I really want to blame the secondary a lot, but because of that lack of pressure and because of Pasha LePoy, this is his schemes and his defense, I'm starting to lean that the secondary is not as bad as I think they are. I think they're just put in the impossible situation.
So it's more the Tosh play calling than the secondary themselves?
They're not good. Like, they're not good enough to overcompensate and, you know, work well in this defensive scheme.
Well, it is weird because Gonzalez and Williams are good players. Like,
Gonzalez is going to be a top 10 pick potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And Williams is better than definitely what he showed this game.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a reason why LePoy, why Saban took away game calling from Tosh when he was at Alabama. Because clearly he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
Either game, because King has brought it up, and you've brought it up many a time where he's late to getting play calls in. It happened again.
By the way, King said he's on a bus.
On a bus.
Yep. Sorry to interrupt. But he is, that is why he's here. By the way, we do see messages in chat. If you are watching us, feel free to drop something in there. We'll address it, talk about it. Thank you for watching and doing that.
But here's what kills me, though, is that Lanning is a defensive guy. He had to learn some things under Kirby Smart. I don't think he called plays for Georgia. But he has to. It must just kill him.
He did not. Yeah.
Letting Tosh call plays.
I wonder if there's going to be some sort of shift. Like, I don't know. Because, again, Oregon played well enough in the first half. Like, so something changed in the second half where...
I don't know how they gave up only 13 points in the first half.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really do that well either.
Yeah.
It was just a straight classic Alioli bend but don't break there.
It's weird. They got ran on, too, which is weird. Because Washington doesn't run on anybody. So that was also interesting. Let's see, what else? Kickoffs out of bounds. All of a sudden, like I don't know who the kickoff guy is. Do you know his name?
I still don't know his name either. Nope.
If anybody knows the name, drop it in chat. He kicked the ball off out of bounds like 3 times today, and it absolutely killed Oregon. And by the way, like before the last drive too, like that
just
killed Oregon. Killed Oregon. Like no excuse for that, man. No excuse.
I don't get it because he's pretty much kicked it in through the end zone damn near every kick this year.
I know. Like what?
All of a sudden, now he's trying some like low, like positional kicks and just shanks 2 out of bounds.
So weird.
It doesn't make sense.
We're talking about college kids. So we've talked about this before where college kids can just have a bad week. Like they get dumped or something and all of a sudden they can't play football anymore. And I'm wondering like if something like that's going on. Andrew Boyle.
Well, maybe.
Booble says Andrew Boyle is his name. Yeah. Boyle is a proper word. He's a Boyle on the, he's a bunion on the Oregon football team.
I mean, maybe that failed onside kick rattled him.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I don't blame call that a bad play. They but had no, the right
it
numbers
was
there.
Perfect. Oh my god.
It was just a terrible kick. Is all it was.
You could see
just
what they saw too. Because the guy who recovered it, he bails. Like as soon as the kicker approaches the ball, he bails, and that's what they saw. And if he kicks it like a foot to the left, it's perfect. Like it's perfect.
Or just don't kick
or shorter.
It
shorter. Yeah. Or like okay, five yards just, closer. Yeah. But beside the point.
Yeah. A lot of things in that first half where this should have been a 2-score Oregon lead at least.
Yeah.
After the first half.
So the of course the thing going forward will be Bo Nix's health.
I still don't know what he got hurt.
You know what it looked like? It looked like he popped his Achilles, but he was standing still, and it was the weirdest thing ever. Because we've seen that before, but it's usually when somebody does a cut or something, and all of a sudden they're just like, whoa, they jump like a snake bit him or something, you know? Like, that's exactly what it looked like. He was just sort of walking back, like, standing there, and then all of a sudden was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, it's like something that happens to, like, a 40 or 50-year-old, man. Like, you're sitting on the couch, and you get up, and your back hurts, and you can't fucking walk right for 3 weeks. That's what it looked like with Bo Nix. It's like just doing normal shit, and then all of a sudden he can't walk. It's like, what the fuck just happened? And then that leads, so you brought this up before we started, to the fourth down play with Ty Thompson, where Nix is out of the tent. He is right next to Dan Lanning and is like, put me in. It's fourth and one. I put me in right now. And you know who's really, really good at fourth and one plays? The best we've ever seen probably is Bo Nix. And so Lanning, like, he's got the timeout.
I said two timeouts he should have called in the game and did not.
Call and timeout. Put in your starting quarterback. Run the fucking quarterback sneak. Auto first down.
Not. You don't even have to run the sneak there.
Punt the fucking football, you idiot. You fucking idiot. Fourth and one from your own 30, and you're going out of shotgun with Ty Thompson?
With Thompson in the game, you have to punt the ball there. But if Nix is in the game, I'm fine with him going for it there. Because look at the plays that Thompson ran. The Huskies finally just like, all right, we're not scared of you throwing the ball. Yeah. Just we're going to bust everyone in the box. So I do not know how you run that play on fourth down with them knowing there's no chance he's going to throw. Yeah. Even if Nix wasn't 100%, he comes in, at least it brings the safeties out a little bit because they have to respect the throw at all.
Yeah.
Thompson had a 0% chance of throwing the ball on fourth down.
And you know, it's weird. Like, we've talked about this before with Thompson too. Like, every time he comes in, the entire offense loses confidence. Like, nobody fires off the ball. Nobody's crisp. Like, nobody is, you know, making the extra move. Like, isn't it weird? Like, it looks like a completely different offense. And he's running the exact same place. Like, so what's different? So yes, the defense can drop 11 guys into the box. They know Thompson's not going to beat him throwing the ball. Yes. But the offense, just the whole team looks different. And so that's what we're talking about going forward now. Like, if Nix can't play, looks like he'll be able to play. Like, but I don't know. It looked like Dennis Dixon was going to be able to play. So I don't know.
Well, I will say at least this was the momentum completely was gone for him when Thompson came in. If Nix doesn't get hurt on that play and the same exact scenario happens, I'm 100% confident the Ducks score and win the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, it would have been Cam Lewis making a game-winning field goal, and I would have been able to tell all y'all to shut up. The best kicker in the nation. Still perfect.
I mean, the best kicker who could only kick a ball 44 yards max.
He's not perfect because he missed a 54.
It was a good 10 yards short.
I told my buddy,
too.
That kick's not good from 44 either.
No.
He shanked the hell out of that one. Well, he was trying to kick it as hard as he possibly could, so it's hard to kick a football.
Here's my other question in that fourth down play.
Yeah.
Why isn't Bucky in the game there with Whittington? And I know they seem to think Whittington's the short yardage guy, but Bucky has been running over and juking everyone the entire game. That was one of the most impressive running games I've seen from an Oregon back in a long time.
And we're going to completely forget about it because it's a loss against Washington.
Yeah.
Jeez, he was good.
Yeah. That's a game. Why does Whittington even get 20 carries? Bucky should have had 35 carries that game. Whittington wasn't bad either.
Whittington
had that long
was really
touchdown.
Good today,
great.
Too. Yeah, yeah. Or Booble says, or James, by the way. Because James has been a short yard back, and he hasn't played the last couple weeks. He's been on the sideline.
Yeah, he didn't step on the field. I don't know if you bring him in for that fourth and one. But this was a Bucky game. He should have touched the ball, ran the ball 35 times, and probably had 300 yards rushing.
This is the November egg, boys. This is the November egg.
Well, this is what this almost happened to Washington State. It should have happened. Should have happened in Washington State, where Dillingham just got in his own head in the first half and put him in a bad spot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, is this an egg? I mean, Washington sort of earned it. It's not like Oregon played terrible the whole game. Oregon made some really horrible decisions and cost themselves the game. 100%.
As much as I love this Oregon offense,
yeah,
this actually was like, thank God they're not going to be in the playoffs. Because let's say they play Ohio State or Georgia again in the first round of the playoffs. This defense, it's just not good.
It's not good.
It's not good at all.
Yeah.
It's just bad. And I really hope that, hopefully this is Tosh and Lanning seeing this and be like, we better start attacking some of these, you know, defensive recruits, especially on that front, and get better, because you ain't going to make the playoffs with defenses like this.
Booble saying Lanning took responsibility with the media after the game. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I think he should. Yeah. A lot of this was coaching and sort of choking. Overthinking it in situations, choking in other situations. Young coaches.
Well,
it's the first time we've seen like a chink in the armor. You know what I mean? Like, because he's been so good at clock management, so good at, you know, just making these big decisions and making the right gambles at the right times, and it finally cost him. Like, it finally backfired.
Again, that's an inexperienced thing.
Maybe, like, knowing when to do things and when not to do things. Like, understanding the flow of the game and not being as arrogant as you've been all season. Against a team that's
I will say it is
like, you can do this shit against Cal and Colorado. You can't do this shit against now 8-2 Washington, you know?
It is tough to punt there. I could see it in why he made the decision. You get especially, the ball to Washington, they're going to score.
Your punting game's not good right now. Like, you have like a backup punter, but yeah, still.
I mean, they're probably going to get the ball up maybe on their own 40. And the way that offense is going, the way the defense is looking,
But at least give yourself a chance.
I'm fine with going for a fourth down. Just call timeout and get Knicks in the game. You just can't do it with Ty Thompson. That's it.
Can't do anything. By the way, if Knicks is indeed hurt, like, the season's over. Like, loss against Utah, probably like loss against Oregon State, and then I mean, Pac-12 championship game's out. You have to win the last two games to be in that game, by the way, because, you know, USC's probably going to win out. And so if you lose again, then UCLA jumps you. No, because they would have lost to USC as well. So Utah jumps you, because Utah's like one loss in the conference too. And so if Utah beats Oregon, then yeah, whatever. You know what? Whatever. It's doom and gloom. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? So let's wrap this thing up. Like, where do we go from here?
I don't know, but it is weird that I don't feel as bad as I would if this was, let's say this was Mario coaching. And he fucks it up, you know, like he likes to do. I just don't feel as bad with Lanning, because he's a first-year guy. He's not going to be perfect. He's going to take his lumps early to start. Get it out of the way here. And again, thank God they're not making the playoffs, because God, they probably would have gotten railroaded by Georgia again.
Shit kicked in by Georgia, yeah.
Or, I mean, just think of this defense against Ohio State's offense.
Or Tennessee.
Tennessee
throwing the football against this defense.
I mean, they brought the hype.
Yards passing.
They showed the hype for Penix's, like, top five, six, whoever Kuiper had him at, five or six for the draft. He was just pitching and catching, and he made like two or three bad throws, that interception, and he had like two bad overthrows, really. Even the quasi-interception by Gonzalez, it was one-on-one coverage. You got to throw it up and just hope your receiver comes and gets it.
He was so good today. Yeah. Like, Penix was so good today, man. He is a very good quarterback. They are a very good offense. I think we can say that, like, officially now. I don't think there's any... By the way, my Oregon by 50 prediction, not so good. you picked Washington, right? That's why you're going to win.
That's a cover.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
Well, the scary thing is it could have easily been a cover.
Yeah.
Be up 10 in the second half to start the second half. That first drive was just
textbook.
There was no stopping them.
Yeah.
And then leading into that last, that 10-minute drive, yeah. I was like, there's no way they're losing. You score a touchdown, you go up 2 scores, it's over, right?
Yep, yep.
But.
Well, so Nix's Heisman's done, are we saying? So, I mean, here's 19 to.
I mean, he's still
19 to 27, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, 9 carries, 59 yards, and a touchdown. It's not a bad game against a top 25 team. I think.
Are you surprised? Given
the opportunity, he would have won the game. I think when he actually went back in, it was too late. It was stacked too hard against them. No timeouts in the amount of time they had left. Like, it's just.
It was. So good luck Heisman in that. Good luck for anyone.
Heisman is probably done. I think we can say that. Like, Oregon needed to be in the playoff for him to, or be approaching the playoff, because I think they give the. Do they vote on the Heisman like right before the final rankings come out or something?
I think it's before. Yeah.
Right.
Unless
before,
he does.
Yeah.
Unless he does something crazy, or unless he plays and does something crazy, like averages 8 touchdowns a game, kind of thing. He's got to do
500 yards against Utah, like that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
He's got to be spectacular the rest of the way.
I don't know, man.
Because, like I said, if you look at stats, he still had good. He had good stats today.
He did. He did. I think Oregon needed to be
there.
I think Oregon needed to be better. Yeah.
And again, real quick before we end, is are you surprised he didn't throw as much? I know the run game was, you know, they weren't stopping it.
That's why. King talked about that too. Like, Oregon will eventually figure out that they can run the ball against Washington, because Washington's really bad against the run. No is my answer. Like, thinking about it a really long time, no is my answer to your question, because it was so successful. It's like, if they didn't get 9 yards a carry, then yes, I'd be like, you probably should have thrown the ball with Nix more. But 27 times throwing the ball when you had 200-yard rushers it's about right. I don't know. Langer 26. Heisman is definitely not in Nix's future. Langer 26, by the way, in that room. Dork. All right. Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, I wish we'd get a King on and tell us how the bus ride home felt.
I'm very curious.
With all the people on, but
we know how we know how the LTD bus ride home is after a loss. It's it's quiet.
Especially loss to Washington like that. Yeah,
it's musty. It's a musty LTD, folks.
I'll put the over under one for the podcast on Thursday. How many piss bags did King throw at the UW fans or grandmas shoved down the stairs?
So King personally, how many grandmas did he shove downstairs?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're saying he peed in bags and threw them at Washington fans.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I think he invented that.
Well, what's the number you're setting?
Well, I would say about 2.5 piss bags. I'll set it at 1.5 grandmas getting wheelchair kicked down.
Vegas really gets you with the 0.5, don't they?
They have to. It's that hook right there.
Yeah, I'm going the under for the grandmas. I think one's enough. I think once you push the one grandma, like, that's good. Piss bags.
Just set that tone with one.
Piss bags depends, man. Like, how many beers did he drink? Like, did he go during the game? Because we're talking about multiple piss bags. Like, that's effort.
We'll find out on Thursday.
All right, so Booble says under on the piss bags, over on the grandma. Booble says more than one grandma.
I did.
Take the over on both. All right, so we're talking about like Tasmanian devil leaving Autzen Stadium, throwing piss and pushing grandmas. All right. Well, we'll find out on Thursday. If King's there, we'll if he's not there, we'll assume he was arrested for throwing piss bags and pushing grandmas. If he is there, we'll at least ask him how many. So Oregon loses to Washington, our world is over.
Yeah.
On to the Blazers.
Ooh. No, not that now too.
Ooh, what if King throws a piss bag at a grandma?
Ooh.
Is that a prop bet?
That's
a prop.
That's
bet.
A specialty bet. That's a specialty boost. Probably boosted like +2,000 or something. DraftKings boost.
All right, man. Thank you for watching, everybody. At TSB Pod, at TSB Ski. King is at Jeromney. You can find him in an LTD near you. Check us out tomorrow. We're going to drop the movie podcast. That's a jiu-jitsu one, right?
Yeah.
Watch the movie Jiu-Jitsu. You know what? Hey, you want to do something to make you feel way worse after Oregon's loss to Washington? Go ahead and watch Jiu-Jitsu tonight and listen to that podcast tomorrow. And then we will see you on Thursday when we will be talking Oregon basketball's loss to UC Irvine. It's only downhill from here, folks.
Thursday.
It's all downhill.
Thursday is going to be fucking rough.
Jesus, it's the time for depression. Everybody get on the bus. We're going to drive into a river.
Push me down the stairs with the grandma next.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I be the grandma in that scenario?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.